And I'll see you guys all over there. Peace. All right, Zara, I'll see you over there in just a minute.
No.
Click on the new link that I've sent you in WhatsApp, and I'll see you over on the next one. You just exit. Just exit. Just close down the webpage. You should be fine. All right, how are we doing, everybody? Welcome back to the Sean Atwood channel. We are live once again for our third show of the day today. And it was breaking news that the wonderful J-Lo has a little bit of a disaster on our hands, and we're going to just dive into it a little bit. This is going to be a quick stream, just so everybody knows. I just want to cover this headline, and I'm just going to give Zara a couple of minutes to get in here and for YouTube to do its thing and the algorithm to do what it needs to do. But listen, it's the countdown to the Diddy trial now, and you know, we were covering this extensively. Sometimes you fly a little too close to the sun, but man, how come I can't see any videos on, because it's brand new, Hala. You can ask Zara, she'll be here in a minute. So, Kamala's crusty sheets, what's happening? So yeah, don't worry about Zara's channels. Zara's ready to go, man. She is a tightly coiled spring and ready to be producing content. And I tell you what, like, her late night podcast is going to be like hardcore 2 a.m. double espresso, chain smoking, like basement jazz club vibes. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah, we're back in the room. Exactly. But thank you all for joining us again, for hopping over to our live stream. And like I say, I'm just going to wait for Zara to join me, and then we'll dive into all of this, because this circulates around the event that took place in 1999, where Netanya took a bullet to the face, and by the grace of an upper hand or some sort of intervention, she survived. And I do believe this is entangled in the fact that they're wanting to use some of the evidence or something from that case. I want to talk to J-Lo about it, but we will dive into it in just a minute. And like, how are you all feeling about the Diddy case? A little bit of me is really concerned that something's going to happen, and he's just not going to, like, he's just, I mean, I know deep down inside he's not going to walk away scot-free, right? But I just feel like, you know, when we looked at the emails that a certain ex-president's wife was sending, and we all had access to them and we could all see them, and nothing really happened, it was like, okay then, right, brilliant, that's great. So how are you all feeling? Like, are you like, put a one if you're confident it's a closed case, Diddy's going down. Put a two if you're concerned that something's going to happen. Put a three if you're like, hell yes, they're like, the twist is coming. There's Dan, this is last stream in like 10-15 minutes and I'll be done, and I love you lots. So let's see what everyone's saying here. Oh, this is not a confident crowd at all. Oh, jeez. All right. Oh, God. So what does that tell us, right, about preconditioning and passively accepting outcomes like that? Do you think that the larger proportion of society, the world, is poised to accept a case like this to end in nothing? In saying that, I'm not going to lie. I think there is a lot of people who thought we would have seen similar outcomes to the man on the island, if I'm being honest with you, because it's just crazy. And I'll tell you something else. The more that I listened to that recording that was allegedly leaked, I'm saying, Let's hang on. Hang on a second. A really cool thing about modern society is when you try and use the letter U and the letter R to make in a sentence, to make the phrase, you know, to make up the words you are, and you don't put a space, it's automatically corrected to Uber now in 2025, which is a fun little minefield of spelling and grammar. Now I'm going to cut to this this article. I think Zara will be with us in just a minute. But Jennifer Lopez fell as being dragged into his ex Sean Diddy Combs' high-profile sex trafficking trial, and prosecutors seek to use evidence from the infamous 1999 club shooting that led to both stars being arrested. Mad, right? Now, I'm pretty sure it's been deleted, but I done a series of interviews with Natanya about that night. Crazy. The singer and then boyfriend Diddy were in the club in New York in Manhattan on December 27, 1999, when gunfire broke out inside the venue. The music mogul was accused of firing a gun and in the shootout that left three people injured, including Natanya Rubin, who we've interviewed, like I say, who was struck in the face but miraculously survived. Now, I'm not being funny, right? If you didn't believe in a higher power, you would struggle not to believe in something when you hear Natanya's story, but then you look at Natanya's face, right? It's like every possible thing had to line up for it to be. She got shot in the face. And she does not look like she got shot in the face. That's the point I'm trying to make. She definitely did. Okay, I just want to point that out. But man, both J-Lo and Diddy were arrested in relation to the incident, but Lopez was not charged and Combs was later acquitted. Diddy's lawyers are now fighting to exclude the incident from evidence in his up-and-coming trial, which is due to begin in mid-May, according to legal filings obtained by the Daily Mail. Court documents filed earlier this month reveal the Bad Boy Finder is also seeking to exclude the notorious video of him beating up ex-girlfriend Cassie Ventura from the case, arguing that nobody could authenticate. What? Nobody could authenticate it. Put a one in the side chat. If you can identify the two individuals in that video, put a two in the side chat if you're blind, right? Or you have like for some reason your vision's knackered, because those are the only two options you're getting. Mad. Absolutely mad. Just want to say as well, if you've seen the show earlier with Izzy, fantastic guest, excited to get her back at some point on some of the panel shows. And Ron has got a whole list of guests lined up. And one of them that's coming on tomorrow is, it's a bit interesting, I have to say. Then next week, I've got a guy called Rafa coming on, who is 18 and a half years in elite law enforcement, SWAT teams, freaking cartel madness, narcotics department. I mean, just wild story. Okay, here we go. Diddy also wants the judge to allow the evidence from his third accuser, known as Victim 3, because it would outrage. What? Like, I'm not being funny, right? But this sounds like if you were 5 years old and you were making statements about a court case, of course you wouldn't want any evidence to be shown to the jury if you could stop it. Like, of course. I just have a really bad feeling about all this, man. The 55-year-old has pleaded not guilty to 5 counts of racketeering, conspiracy, sex transportation, and that other sentence here. Opening statements in the trial are set to begin on May 12th, but the jury selection will get underway a week before then. Diddy's lawyers made their pitch to the judge in motions that are usually filed this close to the trial and are one of the last chances for defense to shape what will be kept in from the jury. The fact the prosecutors are aiming to use the Club New York shooting means that Lopez seems to be mentioned during the trial. After the incident, Diddy and Lopez left the club and were chased by police through Manhattan, where they were stopped. Officers found a stolen gun in the car. Lopez was not charged, but Diddy was put on trial for the gun bribery charges and was acquitted. Zara, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Thank you for coming and joining us. So,
thank you for inviting me.
I've just been through this, right? So it mentions Natanya Rubin here. Now, I've interviewed Natanya several times. She is the victim who was shot in the face in this nightclub by P. Diddy, allegedly for legal reasons, obviously.
I know the story you're talking about, and what, J-Lo took the gun or something like that?
Allegedly, yes. And there's a lot of things, there's a lot of details to Natanya's story that wouldn't happen if it was you or me that was escaping from the scene of a pew-pew going off in a nightclub. Okay, there was a lot of, you know, leniency given, shall we say. And it's going to be real interesting to see, because Diddy is wanting all of this removed as evidence from his trial because it's wanting to be brought forward. He was wanting them to remove the video of him allegedly assaulting his ex in that hotel. And he wants to remove evidence from victim three. It sounds like the desperate last clutching at straws of a desperate man who knows the ship is sinking. I mean, what's your take, first of all?
He could remove all the evidence and even get acquitted, but that doesn't change the fact that he's guilty. And I know it doesn't bring comfort, but we have to find some kind of comfort in knowing that God will sort out his soul and he will get back what is due to him. And that's how I find comfort in, like, the people that abused me are absolutely getting away with it and living it up. And, you know, I have difficulty accepting that. So I think if we can accept that, whether it's karma or a higher power, that even if these people snake their way out of it, they will be held accountable in the end by a higher power. I believe that. That gives me comfort. Now, as far as I know about Sean, he knew he was going to have a demise. Everybody knows they're going to have a demise. J-Lo knows. If you look at all of these people, they're raised up and then they fall down. And they know in their contract from the beginning exactly when and how they're going to fall.
Yeah. Well, here's a picture of Natanya after the event happened, in hospital after what happened. And when you hear her story, it's hard to listen to her story, Zara, and then not come out of it with some sort of faith in a higher power, because the maths of this, of being shot in the face and not looking like you've been shot in the face years later, to come out of it alive is mind blowing.
And it's someone that's protected, they have the hand of God on them.
Yeah. And I just want to go over this part again. I want you to hear this. The 55-year-old is pleaded not guilty to 5 counts of racketeering, conspiracy, transportation, all this horrible stuff. Opening statements in the trial are set to begin the 12th of May. Jury selection is underway a week before. Diddy's lawyers made their pitch to the judge in motions that are usually filed this close to the trial are one of the last chances for the defense to shape what will be kept back from the jury. The fact that the prosecutors are aiming to use the club in New York shooting means that Lopez seems to be mentioned during the trial. After the incident, Diddy and Lopez left the club and were chased through Manhattan. When they were stopped, officers found a stolen gun in the car. Lopez was not charged, and Diddy was put on trial, and he was later acquitted. Do you think we're looking at a weak link in the chain that could be broken to spill more information in J-Lo when it comes to Diddy on trial? What do you think?
You're asking me if J-Lo is somebody that would give information?
Yeah, like would she be pressured to switch into...
I have no idea. You have to remember these people also make deals, you know, that we are not privy to. So I don't really know what's going on with her now, but I can tell you that I have I don't know if you want to call it inside information, but or experience or knowledge or privy to information about J-Lo and her contract. She knew that so from what I know is when she signed her contract, and her contract, her demise was going to start with this movie that she did about herself, a documentary when she told the lie that she was running on the block, Jenny on the block, and really she was a Catholic schoolgirl. She did not want to do that. That was a script written for her to part of her humiliation ritual. These humiliation rituals are real. She did not want to do it. In fact, to the point that she wasn't going to sign the contract. Well, she really didn't.
Jennifer Lopez hasn't sung a song in her whole life.
Right. So
how crazy is that, though? Because
I've heard that too. The woman that was really doing her music had come forward, rightfully so. But you have to understand is that even Sean, when I met with Sean, he knew that he was going to have a demise. And that's why his name, P. Diddy, you know, I think is a part of his humiliation ritual. And so everybody goes through this. You see all of these famous people having their demise, whether they're, you know, end up in jail, dying on drugs, working at Walmart, whatever it is, it's all a part of the whole thing. So what I know about J-Lo is that she almost didn't sign her contract. She did not want to do it. And if you watch the documentary, which I only saw clips of, you know, she like messes up her hair. She's totally not into it. And she's a much better actress than that. She did the shittiest, lousiest job intentionally because she wasn't wanting to do it. So I think that there is a spark of hope and light inside of her that she might do the right thing. But it's very difficult to do the right thing when you don't have a supportive community and a way out, in a sense, not a way out of being held accountable, never, but a way out of the sadistic trap where you can go to a safe place and start healing. Because everybody is recorded and they're blackmailed and they're threatened. If you come out, you know, everybody gets to see what an absolute monster you are. Meanwhile, most of them were drugged and used as puppets and then recorded and controlled. Well, and
Zara, do you know, I'm going to say something here that's completely your fault. I did not have this thought process until I met you, right? What if everything we're seeing, and listen, everyone, this is straight up tinfoil hat, Ron late at night tinfoil hat theory here, right? But what if Diddy did all of this to himself, knowing that everyone who was higher up and elite who knew what Diddy has on them, that he has it on them, and now he's put himself in this position as a ritualistic, what the hell is it called? The ones where people embarrass themselves to then be revered.
Humiliation
ritual, where he's putting himself all the way through this. He's not being Epsteined in prison because he's in control of every single major elite individual through blackmail material. And this is one twisted ritual. And at the end of it, he's going to come out of it completely acquitted and be leveled up. I don't know. I just feel like...
So that's an absolutely valid thought. And that is actually how it works. If he chooses to continue on that path, but I mean, you would have to be an absolute demon. You would have to be purely demonized to do that. So if he wants to reclaim his soul and turn around and repent and start working in the other direction, he's got to do that. Nobody can do that for him. But if he does what you say, I can tell you as an absolute matter of fact that I know that he has everything recorded, because when I spoke to him in Harlem, he had confided in me, you know, that he was a living altar from the time he was a child, and he didn't know, like, you know, what even does it feel like to have a soul? How do I know if I have one? And he knew that he was going to have a demise, and he wanted to know if he could ever get out and have a normal life. And one of the things that we talked about was that he said he can't get out because they already have him on video. And so, you know, how could he possibly escape?
Yeah.
He told me that everything is recorded. And I told him, what you have to do is you have to watch the watcher. You have to record the people that are recording you, you know, so that when you go down, take all the other abusers that were controlling you, take them down. Because what it is you have the abused becoming the abuser, and then that abuser is controlling the next person who's abused, and then that one becomes the abuser, and you have a chain of cycles of abuse, and it's like a stack of cards. It's going to all fall down eventually.
Oh, I'm with you. We've had an interesting discussion about, you know, our views on how to cure the world of this vicious cycle. And they're very contrasting. You know, you're very much heal the world. I'm very much nip it in the bud and let's just start launching people, you know.
I'm both. I'm absolutely both. Don't get me wrong. In the last interview, you had to beep me and I had to watch what I say. It's very easy to have compassion for the whole when you understand the system, you understand how people were victimized as children. But it's very difficult to have compassion, very difficult to have compassion for the ones that actually hurt you.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's a great empathetic debate point about the limitations of even the most empathetic people that you know, because they can have 99.999% empathy for the world, but it's that 1%. That's why it's that 1%. It's why they can't get it out of the milk. You know what I'm saying? Someone said that in a movie once. It's that 1% that you just can't get rid of that you would apply a different set of rules to. And I think we all have a list of individuals that we can apply that to. But I just want to say to everybody that these little improv shows, you know, we've only got a few minutes left, that we're just covering a headline. I just want to say thank you for coming over from the last stream and supporting us all. There's a few people in the side chat, Zara, saying, oh, we've went to subscribe to Zara. She's not got any content yet. And I've made people rest assured that that's because you're just on your journey. You're starting out on your journey now. And it's all coming. And it's exciting. And just stay tuned, because I'll tell you something. Once she learns what buttons to push to make herself go live, she ain't going to... I'm telling you now, Zara is going to be one of these people who... Once she's got her community built, she is good. As soon as she has finished what she does in her day, she is going to hit live. And I tell you something, I described your late night podcast, right, as a bunch of people around a coffee table in a basement jazz club drinking double espressos and chain smoking into a dirty ashtray having a conversation. Do you know what I'm saying? 100%. 100%.
Yeah, I have so much planned for my channel. And also, I'm really into, like, AI and making content. And so for like the women's warrior table, everyone's going to be making like an avatar of themselves, and it's basically, you know, welcome home to the women's warrior table, where we're coming in from the battlefield of life to encourage and support and inspire one another. So I sent you today some of the avatars I was working on.
Yeah, they're awesome.
For me, this is new, and it's only possible because of this amazing woman that gifted me a laptop. And I have, now that I have, like you say, the right buttons to push, watch out. I'm going to be hitting you guys up with so much content. I have so many brilliant ideas. I'm working with so many amazing people. And I'm going to be doing all different kinds of things. Of course, I'm going to be talking about the sadistic system, but I'm also going to be talking about creativity and showcasing my creative talents. I won so many Grammys with my music, won so many Grammy awards. You know, I have a lot to share. I have music, I have art, I have a real big storyteller and into, you know, different kinds of imaginations, and I, you know, so I have a whole creative side as well.
100%. Can I show one of your? I've just found the one with.
Go ahead.
I'm going to show another one, and the smile in the other one is hilarious to me, right? But this one, this is awesome, and I'll remove this. You can see the text at the bottom here. So, listen, you got to love AI and its ability to help us shape our creative ways. But there's this one here. This is too funny, right? Which one is it?
And just so you guys know, that's the staff of Poseidon, because I'm representing the world of the sea.
Okay, so Luke,
I love surfing. I love sailing. I'm a real ocean girl. So that's not a evil, sadistic symbol. That is the staff of Poseidon, who's the king of the sea.
100%. Yes. Yeah. So, do you know what's crazy? That's called a trident because there's three prongs. A fork is called a fork because there's four. What?
So it's the trident.
What, mate? Mind blown, right?
Yeah.
So I just want to bust your chops a little bit in a playful way here, right?
Okay,
so
this here
is perfect, right? So look at the strong, powerful face of this woman in this AI, right? This next one, the facial expression here is, I've got secrets and they're buried under the patio in the garden. Don't ask where my ex-husband is. Everything's fine, right? It's got one of those little, that smile's got secrets. It's like the Mona Lisa face. It's like, oh, girl. You got a story to tell, but you can't because you're a painting. Love it. But you do.
And I really love the table on that one. The table with the cosmic space on it. Yeah.
I did all that today.
I did. You know, it was just. And then I did my other logo for my studio. My studio is called Strike a Match Studio, and the production company that produces what we make in the studio is called Burn It Down Productions. So it's Strike a Match Studio, Burn It Down Productions, and it's to honor my son. He wrote a song called Burn It Down, and there's a private story behind it, but it's to honor him and to avenge, you know, all the innocent people that have been hurt.
Well, listen, Zara, thank you for joining me. Side Chat, thank you for being here. We just wanted to cover that headline today, so if you're watching this back and got 4 minutes of J-Lo content, I do apologize. It's late. Okay, I should be talking to my fiance right now, but I'm not. I'm talking to you guys, so I'm going to go and do that right now. Lots more from Zara to come. I'm back tomorrow night with a series of interviews with some more guests. I'll keep you all posted. And love you guys. Thanks for being an incredible community. Thank you for being so open and welcoming to all the guests and individuals that we bring here. And yeah, you're awesome. So deal with it. All right.
Thanks for inviting me to the after party.
Peace. Take it easy, guys. Take it easy.